Outreach Mass, bringing Christ to mid-Michigan for 40 years.
Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
To be honest, the simplest questions are often the most difficult. And it seems to go similarly that the simplest commandments can be also the most difficult. We are created in the image and likeness of a God of love. That is our most divine attribute, our capacity to know and to choose to love. And yet, as appropriate it is that God should be first, above all things, even above our own life itself, that very simple command to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, that's a challenge. Sure, yes, we love God, but we also love a lot of things. And to love God above all else, isn't that the great struggle of a life that we have to continually be working on? Because you really can't love deeply someone that you don't know. Oh, sure, we've had crushes. Maybe you remember as a teenager having certain posters on the wall, decorating your room, the crushes, the idols of TV or movie fame or a rock star. But you don't really know them, and so you really don't love them deeply. It's a superficial crush. How do we get to know and love the Lord? To really love God above all things. It's kind of painful to realize that we spend so much time with just about everything else than with the Lord. And I think especially in this day and age, which is so distracted, and we have so much time spent on our devices. And of course, your smartphone will tell you how much time you've spent with it each day. That's kind of an off-putting statistic. Compare how much time you've spent with your phone in a given day versus how much time you've spent with the Lord in a week. See what that discrepancy is. Even in terms of our involvement in God's ministry and our availability to it, right? Even in terms of just commitment to it, in terms of what we spend on. Think of how much we spend as Americans. If you add up each month, your internet bill, your cell phone bills, your cable bill, put all that together in a month and see how much of your paycheck goes to being connected, and then compare that to how much actually goes into your connection to the ministry of Christ, Catholic charities, missionary groups, your parish, your diocesan services appeal, whatever that is. That can be a discrepancy too. Oftentimes, the realization is we're not there yet, but the real question is, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. This is a work of a lifetime. The real question is, what are we doing to fill the gap? What are we doing to correct it? And yes, we are there to know God and to love God and to serve God, but as I said, it's really hard to love somebody well when we don't know them. And certainly, if we don't know God's commandment very well, we're not going to serve God as God wishes to be served. So the simplest thing is, what am I doing to get to know God a little better each day? That's a great place to start, and especially as it's summer. It's vacation time. It's time to know God a little bit better. What are we doing? Maybe a little extra prayer time. Maybe it's the experiential knowledge of knowing God's mercy in the sacrament of confession. Time to get back into the box. Maybe it's breaking open the scriptures. Maybe it's breaking open the catechism because we were trained in religious ed or in school when we were in our wee years. And it's good to kind of refresh our memory of the church's knowledge and experience and teachings over 2,000 years. Personally, I like to break open the writings of the saints. If we're called to be a saint, learn from the best. Who's your patron saint? Have you read your patron saint? If your patron saint has an autobiography or writings, get to know that. Personally, as we're now in the summer months, and the summer month of June is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and the month of July, appropriately, is dedicated to the most precious blood of Jesus, the precious blood of mercy, which flows from the pierced heart of Jesus, wounded for love of us, I recommend getting to know the Sacred Heart and the precious blood of Jesus. There's all sorts of writings. Saints have reflected on these mysteries of grace and salvation over the centuries. And there's something special about knowing or trying to know how God loves us. It's one thing to try to love God, but sometimes when we try to know God and love God through God's commandments, that can feel like a burden. And when we feel like there's a burden upon us, then we feel resentful. And that doesn't always make us want to love God more, right? That feels like we're encumbered. Personally, I have to say that the time that I've spent coming to know more, the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the precious blood, and this is going back when I really spent time reading the saints on these devotions, goes back 30-some years. I have to say that was such a game changer because I was starting to hear of God's love for me. And that made my love for God, as a small reflection, grow so much more. Because it's so easy to keep God at arm's length. I even know this as clergy, right? Because sometimes it's easier to have a work relationship with somebody than a personal friendship with somebody. You've all seen those little bumper stickers, "My boss is a Jewish carpenter." It's kind of a subtle way to say you're a Christian. It's easier sometimes to have a work relationship. Just tell me what you want to do. But to really be vulnerable to somebody, to give your heart to somebody, it's a little more dicey. It's a little more dangerous. It's a little more vulnerable. And sometimes we want to keep God at arm's length. And frankly, we see it even in the saints. We see it in St. Peter. Remember, also in Luke's gospel, when Jesus surprises St. Peter, the apostle, with that miraculous catch of fish. And what does Peter do? He drops to his knees and says, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You don't want me. You don't know who I am." And Jesus is like, "Oh no, I totally want you. I'm going to make you a fisher of men." Why? Because you really can't become a disciple until you know your woundedness, until you grow in humility and know your brokenness and know that you can't do it alone and you need a Savior. And Peter learns a further lesson, right? Remember at the Last Supper, Jesus starts washing the feet of the apostles. This is something your rabbi, your master would never do. And Peter takes umbrage, like, "Oh no, you are never going to wash my feet." And Jesus once again at Peter, "If I don't wash you, you can have no part in me." And again, Peter immediately relents, "Fine, wash me from head to toe." "No, just the feet." But if you don't let the Lord show you mercy, if you don't let the Lord heal you, what witness do you have? How are you going to witness to others of the mercy and the love and the grace of God if you don't present your brokenness to the Lord and let God touch you and forgive your sins and heal you. If you keep the Lord at arm's length, don't let God forgive you. Don't let God love you. Don't let God be close to you. What kind of witness do you have to give to anybody else? What kind of discipleship is that? Peter had to learn that lesson too. It's humbling, but Peter did have to learn that lesson too. We all have to learn that lesson. The more I spent time reading about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I've read the autobiographies of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who's that French visitation nun of the 1600s, the reason we have the Feast of the Sacred Heart on the calendar each June. The more I read about Jesus' infinite love for us, the more I fell in love with the heart of Jesus. Because, like St. Peter, I'm thinking, why would Jesus want to love me? I'm a sinner. Why would Jesus, who is infinite and is perfect, have a place in his kingdom for me? And was it Groucho Marx who had that famous line, right? I would never want to belong to a group that would let me be a member. That's a beautiful line of humility, right? If they would take me as a member, why would I belong to that group? That tells you right there. Our church is a field hospital for sinners. Our church is there precisely as a salvation religion. We're not coming because we've got it together. We're coming because we need to know the mercy of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the precious blood of Jesus washing away our sins, this lifeblood of souls. The more you get to know the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the more you get to know the blood of Jesus, the more you just can't help but to love the Lord. It took me a whole year at least. I plowed through the diary of Saint Faustina, who's the reason we have the Divine Mercy devotion. And again, I was struck by Jesus talking about his love for sinners, the worst of us, how much he wanted to take away our sins, how much he wanted to show his love for us, how our heart ached for sinners. And the worse sinner you are, the more he wanted to heal you. And that his divine mercy was an ocean. His blood was an ocean of mercy. And he just wanted to pour that ocean upon us. And you know how water is. Water, if you pour it into a hole, it, by gravity, goes to the lowest spot. It goes to the emptiness. It fills the emptiness from the lowest point up. If you're going to fill a hole, it goes to the lowest spot, and it just fills up from there. And Jesus was yearning to heal us. And I read about Jesus talking to St. Faustina saying, you know, when people choose against my mercy, it breaks my heart because I died for them, and they still refuse to let me heal them. And he has to watch souls choose their destruction when he's provided every conceivable grace to heal them, to forgive them, to call them to eternal life, and they still choose against him. Why? Because they do not trust him. Jesus wants us to trust his love, to trust his mercy. He wants us to get to know his mercy so that we will trust and love him. That's the reason the saying at the bottom of the Divine Mercy icon, which is there to this side of church, says, Jesus, I trust in you. He wants us to know him. So if I can recommend one simple thing this summer, in this beautiful time of the Sacred Heart and the precious blood of Jesus, before we can grow in our love of God, before we can grow and perfect our service of God, look at the simple things. What are little things that we can do to know God just a little better, to know his love for us, to know his commandments, to know his teachings, to know how the saints have drawn closer to the Lord over the years, and to learn from their good example? Think about that. If there's one little thing, one or two, actually two or three things would be preferable to one thing, but you decide. What's the little thing that we can do to know the Lord a little better? And I think you're going to find that the love of God, the service of God, will flow from there much more naturally. Because again, at the end of the day, it's hard to love someone you really don't know that well. Don't keep Jesus at arm's length, even because of your sins. Let him in, for he is a merciful Savior.